Welcome back. It is 9 minutes after the hour. I have Tyler Burns on the studio line. He's from the Reformed African American Network. He is also a co-host of Pass the Mic podcast with Jamar Tisby. And boy, don't we love Jamar Tisby. And now we've got Tyler Burns. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me on the show.
Are you kidding? We already love you.
Well, you have my big brother Jamar on, and I'm pinch hitting for him. But hey, he's a great man, and I'm happy to be here.
And we're actually just thrilled that you can join us this morning. We definitely want to get some thoughts on what's going on in the NFL, which has gotten kind of crazy, kind of fast, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So, what are your thoughts about the protests?
Well, I would say that there are two responses that believers in Jesus have to interrogate. And the first response would be the knee-jerk response to what we see as protests or disruption. And the knee-jerk response will largely be based upon our cultural and spiritual heritage, where we come from, how we have viewed protests in the past, and then also kind of where we find our stream of faith tradition to be home. That's going to depend a lot of, you know, that's going to determine a lot of the knee-jerk response to how we view a protest or a disruption of any kind. But then mm-hmm. I think the second response that we have to interrogate as believers is, what is the biblical action? What should we now do now that we have seen a protest, now that we have seen a cry for attention, a cry for any sort of light being shined on what people perceive to be injustice? And I have to tell you, Bill, I'm not a historian. I'm not an academic. I'm just a second-generation preacher from the South who loves Jesus. And so my approach to every cultural issue is drenched and bathed in biblical love. And that means that I must have an abiding love for my God, and I must have a fierce, uncompromising love for my neighbor. So when we talk about what that love means, that love should mean that we as believers view everything that we don't understand as charitably as we possibly can, recognizing that love indeed, as the scripture says, bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. So as a believer, I want to approach even the things I don't understand. And I'll actually, you know, kind of raise the stakes a little bit in that regard. We've been taught in America to hate dissent. We've been taught in America to hate protest. And so I, even as a believer, want to separate from the cultural norm of despising dissent. And I want to view it as charitably as I possibly can, which, you know, we can get into what that means for us.
Yeah. Did I mention how much I like you?
Well, the feeling is mutual, Bill.
Oh, good. So what concerns are you hearing from other fellow believers right now?
Well, I believe that there are a number of concerns that are rooted in a misunderstanding of what protest actually is. And so I'll kind of address that from the start, because what I typically hear is people's critiques are rooted in a misunderstanding of what's going on. So a protest at its base level is a peaceful disruption. It's a peaceful interruption. 2 years ago in my city in the panhandle of Florida, I had the honor of praying at a memorial for a local sit-in that was done about 50 years ago to draw attention to lunch counter segregation. And in praying for that, I recognized the ways in which we view nonviolent action and protest in the moment as something to be despised. And later on, we view it many times as something to be applauded and lauded. And so what a protest is a cry for attention to a particular injustice. And what a lot of people have said is, hey, they're ruining football for me. They're ruining, take an award show or something like that for me. And as a believer in Jesus, I must admit to you, Bill, I have no idea what that means, because I was under the impression that the kingdom of God has supremacy over all my cultural dealings. So whether I'm watching a football game or watching an award show, as it relates to my neighbor and his cry and plea to draw attention to his humanity and his dignity, I can listen to that at any point in time. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, has our entertainment become anesthesia to allow us to remain asleep to some of the cultural ills that we would like to hide from? So believers know, and this is kind of a parallel, I think, that we can find, a common ground that we can find in protest, that, you know, both individual and systemic ethnic sins flourish in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So what we should do is we should, in any way that we possibly can, that is peaceful and respectful, shine a light on those things.
Well, that's a lot of wisdom, Tyler. I like it very much. I'm going to take just a very short break. When I come back, I want to continue this conversation and talk about maybe what some of the theological issues are in play.
Absolutely.
So we'll continue that discussion. I'm speaking to Tyler Burns from the Reformed African American Network. We'll be back in just a minute. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Tyler Burns from the Reformed African American Network. We're having an interesting discussion about his thoughts on the NFL national anthem protests. And Tyler, I'm just curious about some of the theological issues that are at play with this question.
So when you talk about the theological issues, in what particular area and stream? Because I think that can mean many things. So I want to make sure that I speak to him appropriately. In what particular area are you referring to?
Well, I'm just thinking about biblical justice. Are we loving people? Are we showing respect? Are we honoring our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Or is this creating so much division amongst people that it's even going to get into the Christian mindset and create division, which would be horrible?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the commands that we see in Proverbs 31 is that the scriptures instruct us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. And it's called for us to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. I think in many cases, what people would see as loving is very subjective, and what people would see as divisive is very subjective. I think because we forget the ways in which correcting systems and drawing attention to systems of injustice is love. Dr. King famously said that justice is love in calculation, that justice is love correcting that which would revolt against love. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's important for us to remember is that Christians are called to an uncommon compassion, which is what we see in the incarnational life of Jesus, recognizing that all men and women have been created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 tells us. Now we see that Jesus incarnates himself amongst humanity, and he walks with people who are unworthy, and he listens to them and he hears them. And in some cases, actually many cases, he advocates on their behalf. So I think what Christians should attempt to do is, as much as possible, mirror that way of living that Jesus compassionately displayed for us when he was on the earth, and recognize that in many cases, some disruption, some division is actually good, healthy, biblical division.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say, if this brings about any positive change, maybe we'll get better at listening to the dissenting voices in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that I have to do as a believer and also as a pastor within a local church context, one of the things that I'm called to do is disciple people. You know, mm-hmm. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and make disciples. And part of discipleship is conforming, helping people to be conformed to the image of Christ. And what many people have been conformed in, and they don't realize it, is cultural rituals and norms. And these cultural rituals and norms can become idols. And so what we have to say is, are we talking about respect, or are we talking about a cultural ritual and norm that we've idolized to mean something that may not be connected to any sort of spiritual or biblical discipleship? And so as a pastor, I have to courageously confront these idols, which exist in every culture, in every context. But particularly in our American Western context, we have to get real about the idols of our culture, and some of those idols need to be put in their proper place in comparison to the kingdom of God.
Mm. A lot of wisdom. So will this draw us together, or will this further divide us?
You know, one of the interesting things that people say and they ask for is unity. You know, people say, where's the unity? We need to come together. And I am 100% for unity, but I'm 100% for biblical unity. And what we see in Jeremiah 8 is the prophet, you know, we talk about it. It's you know, this idea of peace, where there really is no peace. And I think people prematurely want to get to our arms locking, us walking together in love and unity. But we have to reconcile first. And reconciliation requires truth. Salvation and relationship requires trust. And so I think those types of things must be talked about before there can be unity. So I think this actually is bringing a great conversation to the table. I mean, if you think about it, I would have never met you if not for these protests. So I count the protests as a win, just on that regard.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who are being brought together from diverse backgrounds talking about these things in ways that they might not have before. So in many ways, I think the protests in that regard, regardless of if you disagree with it, has been a successful addressing of the inherent injustices that plague our society. Mm-hmm. And that's what really brings unity, is that open and that honest conversation.
Yeah, so Tyler, as a pastor, how can the church lead on this?
That's a great question. I think the first thing that we have to do, you know, pastors are called, Colossians 1, to warn and teach every man. And that means that we're called, again, to warn about cultural captivity, to warn about white supremacy, to warn about the idols that are erected in our society, and to also teach people how to live in a healthy way, loving God and loving neighbor. And I'll talk about one practical way that you can do that. You can introduce members, if you're a pastor listening, or if you're just a lay member listening, introduce yourself and the people around you to people of color who have served as examples of Christian faithfulness. One of the things I love is that the body of Christ is big, broad, and diverse. So if you don't see faithful Black Christian leaders, you may not think that they exist, and you may not get a different perspective as it relates to protests, peaceful nonviolence, disruption, justice. And so as a young man, I didn't know about Frederick Douglass and Fannie Lou Hamer and Mariah Stewart and Francis Grimke and Gardner Taylor and all these great, you know, Black Christian heroes who have gone before me. And introducing your congregation and yourself to them will give probably a different perspective on many of the ways in which the body of Christ is called to speak to culture. I think that's one way. And then a second way is we must disciple people in a full-orbed emotional health to recognize that lament is part of a biblical discipleship, that compassion and silence is part of a biblical discipleship, that activism is a part of a biblical discipleship. However you decide to act, it doesn't have to be within a national anthem context, but it may be around a dinner table. It may be to your neighbors, it may be on your job, that really full-orbed emotional health requires for us to listen even to the people who we deem to be angry. And it also requires for us to have a healthy response to these things. Mm-hmm. So I think those are two in particular that churches and Christians should do pretty immediately.
Tyler, do you have a twin brother? It'd be nice if there were more like you.
I have a little brother. He's 20. Okay. not a twin.
All right. I so appreciate you coming on the show, and thank you so much. And I'd love to have you back. And my best to Jamar and your efforts at the Reformed African American Network. Really great to
meet
you.
Thank you again for having me, Bill.
Thanks, Tyler. Have a great day.
It.
You bet.
You as well.
Yep. 25 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We've got Ron Deal coming up in the next half hour. Off the side of the road.